All right, it's good to be here this morning on the warm patio. It's kind of cold, isn't it? That's good, because when it gets too warm, you guys kind of tend to doze off. You're going to be very alert this morning, except the front row. Nobody likes the front row. I don't know why that is, but one announcement that I was asked to make, and it's a pretty obvious one. The Spanish ministry will not be meeting on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, so I don't think we needed to hear that, but it's pretty obvious. But anyway, so this morning, I think the Lord put a pretty important message on my heart. Before we get to that, you know, I don't know if you guys, I probably have mentioned to some of you that when I was a kid, I went to a Christian school, and it was in Norwalk. It was an awesome Christian school. And it was Norwalk Brethren Elementary. And I was there from kindergarten through the sixth grade. And I received just a wealth of knowledge. And many times when I recite scripture, I know that's where I got it, because it's in the Old King James, which we don't use here very much. But one thing we always did once a week was we went into chapel. And the whole school, kindergarten was in the front, and then all the way back, you know, and I graduated from the front to the back. And we would come in there and line up, and then we would say the pledge to the Christian flag. How many of you guys know that? Greta knows it, because we used to do it in here with the kids, you know. And then we would sing this song. And it came to my mind the other day, and it's called Onward Christian Soldiers. Have you heard that song? Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Very good. A lot of you guys know that. And, you know, as a kid, I always had this picture in my mind, you know. We're soldiers, and you know, and even my second grade teacher, Mrs. Jacobson, she would line us up in the parking lot with these instruments, and we would march like soldiers, and we would sing that song. And it really put a picture in my mind back then of Christians being soldiers, you know, and it really impacted me. And the things that I learned as a kid, because my mind was still developing and all of those things were being put into my hard drive. Now, my hard drive's overloaded now. Somebody will tell me something, you know, and I have to press delete so I can let other stuff go in. But one thing, you know, I want to plug this morning a little bit is this Calvary Kids flyer or pages of stuff that Anaya puts out for the kids. Okay? And I was just thumbing through it. I pulled one out this morning back there, and the Lord just put it on my heart to remind everyone that if you have kids or if there are kids that you're around, this is so important. Because all of those things that I learned as a kid have come back threefold, tenfold. And I can't tell you how amazing it is. Even though I drifted, when I came back, the Lord used all of those things. So I want to encourage you to make sure you get this every week if you have kids, and use the time to go through it with your kids. Now, back to the battle, you know, Christian soldiers. And I had this picture of all of us as like warriors, you know. I don't know, have you seen that movie Braveheart? Yeah. Well, you know, if I pictured all of you guys out there with, you know, the spears and the swords and the painted face and everything, you know, ready to charge against another group. You know, quite frankly, nothing against you guys, but I don't think we'd stand much a chance, would we? I mean, we might have a few guys here that are pretty tough, but, you know, I don't see that being very, 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 the outcome being very good. But We know this, that we battle not against flesh and blood in this battle. And so we battle against principalities and powers and things that are unseen to us. And yet God can manifest what those things are to us. And we know that the weapons that we use are not carnal. They're not physical things. And so someone who might be weak in the flesh concerning warfare can be very strong in the spirit. You know, so with what's happening in our world today, it's very easy to become disheartened. I mean, the circumstances, you could even feel as though the enemy is winning the battle. But I can assure you that the enemy is not winning the battle. Okay? So as a church, we have a mission. Now, you guys remember that show, Mission Impossible? Dun, 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 dun. And the guy goes over and he opens it up and this little thing comes out and plays his mission. And then, you know, it's like, should you choose to accept it? And then, you know, it goes away, you know. Well, we have a mission, should you choose to accept it, given to us from God. Now, this morning, what I want to do is give the church a word of encouragement. You know, I don't have a desk, but I sat in my house and I had all these ideas about what I would speak about, but nothing really clicked. And then, you know, on Thursday night, God kind of just spoke this to me. So I think we're going to entitle the message today, Onward Christian Soldiers. And I think it's quite appropriate. So, Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for this church, Lord, and the church at large, God. And I pray this morning as we maybe take a dive into what our mission is, what our purpose is, what the church is called to be and to do, Lord, that we would really accept the mission that you have for us, that we would go forth, Lord, as soldiers for you, Lord, and that we would see great fruit come from it, Lord, that we wouldn't be distracted by the enemy or by the things that the world tries to do to stifle our efforts, but we would go forth, Lord, with just like the song says, with Christ, our Master, at the forefront, leading us and guiding us and directing us. So bless your people this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Now, this morning, we're going to be jumping all over the place, so bear with me. But we know that the church is not a building or a patio, if you will. It's a body of believers following Christ to accomplish his will on earth through us, not through the pastor or any certain smaller group, but through the church. Now, I better put my glasses on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what Peter says concerning the church. Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I said we're not a building, but it's interesting that Peter kind of uses the analogy of a building, doesn't he? And he talks about Christ being the chief cornerstone of our church, is what that is referring to. And that we are these living stones, okay? And we're being built up. And why? To offer spiritual sacrifices to God. And you know, in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, that speaks of our own bodies, but I think we could expand that and say that speaks of the church body. as well, that we would be living sacrifices for God, and that we wouldn't conform to the world. You know, the church should be impacting the culture rather than the culture impacting the church. And I know that the culture has impacted some of the ways that we're able to meet. But at the same time, that shouldn't impact our focus and the way we work and the things that we do and the mission that God has given us. So, what is our purpose as the church? And what are the benefits? You know, it's interesting. I've been coming to this church for 22 years. I was talking to my wife about it this morning. And my mind always does crazy math things, and I'm thinking 22 years, you know, and then 52 weeks in the year, and 10 years, that's 520 times, and, you know, 20 years, that's 1,040 times, and then add a couple more years, it's like 1,150 times or something. I missed a few Sundays. And then if you add Wednesdays, that's like 2,300 times. And then if you add all the days we came here when we weren't at church, it's thousands and thousands of times. Now, of course, my mind went over to the miles and how much money I've spent on gas. But, you know, never in all the time that we've been coming here have we been faced with some of the things we're faced with today. Never. And so I think we need to be encouraged, and we need to be reminded of why God has us here. And we need to be ready to accomplish the mission that He has for us. Now, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, this was the very earliest church. And I think we can take some examples from that church in its very early stages to encourage us and to kind of show us the things that God has called us to be. Now, in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them all among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, I'm not going to tell everybody we got to go sell our house and put it all together. I will say that right now is a critical time for the church financially because of everything that's been happening. And we need to, as the church, understand that. And that should really reflect on our giving. But that's not what this is about. And so I kind of made some bullet points on really what the church, what the mission of the church is, but also the benefits of the church. And the first thing we see there is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, we're very fortunate that we have the entirety of Scripture, much of which I learned at that school when I was a kid. I mean, we have a great, great resource that the apostles really didn't have. So it says they had this doctrine. Now, where did they receive that doctrine? If you turn in your Bibles quickly, or however quickly, to Luke chapter 24. I want to show you something pretty interesting that I always like to read about. In verse 44 of Luke 24. Now this is Jesus. He's already risen. He's getting ready to ascend. And he's speaking to his disciples. In verse 44 it says, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" This is the verse I like. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." See, Jesus supernaturally just opened them up to all the truths in the Bible. He was the one that taught them. And then he reminded them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the doctrine that we study in our Bible comes from God through these apostles, and much of it through Paul and others as they wrote down what God would have them to write. But remember, at this point, they don't have a New Testament. This is the earliest part of the church, and so they had a supernatural revelation from God on what to preach. Now, if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1 it says, Paul speaking to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So it's very important at the church that as we come together, that God raises people up that can teach the word. And we do that within the church. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, disciple these guys, raise them up. And then down in verse 14, he says, and remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And then he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, as we come together, the instruction in God's word, the study, the teaching, and all of those things is one of the great important things that we do here. And now, of course, it's important that when you're at home or wherever you're at, you're doing your own studies. But we come together to open the word of God, to be instructed, to be built up. And God would raise men up that would teach. Now, another thing that we do within the church, besides instruction, is that we observe God's holy ordinance together, don't we? We have the receiving of communion, which is in Acts chapter 2, they talk about the breaking of bread. And that's a great time of unity and fellowship together as we break the bread. And then, of course, the baptisms that we perform. And people are able to make a statement, a public statement, in front of others. And maybe others that don't know the Lord. I've seen a lot of people, they bring people to the baptisms, and it's a great testimony. Now, so we have instruction. We have the observance of the holy ordinances. The next thing I want to talk about is prayer. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, you know, when I think of prayer, I don't know why, Daniel comes to my mind, and not because he's named after me, but, and we know that, you know, you probably think, well, he's going to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. And that's a great story, isn't it? How Daniel refused to obey an order that he would not pray. And of course, we know that story. But what I really want to look at is chapter 2. Now, in this chapter, first chapter 1, we know Daniel refused to eat the king's delicacies, and God rewarded him for being obedient to that. Now, in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he says, if you guys can't tell me what this dream is to all of his wise men, well, we're just going to start cutting your heads off, or however he likes to kill them. He has all kinds of different ways, furnaces and beheadings. And so it says in verse 13 of chapter 2 that the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now, in verse 14, it says that with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men. So here's the guy coming to kill people, you know, and Daniel, he says, hey, why is the decree so urgent Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. And he went to his house and he told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, that's who this is. In verse 18, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret so that they wouldn't perish. So these guys are on their knees. And Daniel said, I need you guys to pray with me. And you see, as a church, we need to pray together on these things. We need, you know, and our prayer meetings are way too empty. And it sometimes it takes an act of desperation for us to be at the prayer meeting. Okay? Now, Daniel was obviously desperate because they were going to kill him. So he got together with these guys and said, pray with me. And the result, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And when that happened, Daniel had his own prayer. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. Remember that. He removes kings and raises up kings. If the election's giving you a problem, talk to God about it. He gives wisdom to those and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, that you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us this king's demand. Wow. See, we have all the resources that we need in God. But many times we don't use those resources until they're our very last option. And that's not how it should be. So I would encourage you to not pass up opportunity that you have to pray at this church. And I know the times that we live in are kind of crazy. But you know what? If we're at the church on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock and the men are praying and you're a man, even if you're not here, you could be at home at your house praying with us at the same time. You know, we have a big God, and he doesn't need you to be in a certain spot. And so my encouragement is, you know, pray. I mean, it's really the most important thing that the church can do. And how many things do we have to pray for right now? And that's, I mean, that's a big part of our mission. You know, I knew an old guy in a rest home who physically, you know, what was it Abraham said? I'm about dead or whatever. I can't remember the exact term. But this guy was practically dead. But God kept this guy alive. And you know what? I know the reason. Because every week, his church sent him his bulletin and he prayed over it. And if I ever went to see him, he would just grab me and let me pray for you. And I'm thinking, you're going to pray for me? Look at you. God takes great stock in the prayers of his people and in the prayers of the church. So, instruction, the ordinances, prayer. And of course, everyone, when they think of the mission of the church, it would be evangelism, right? And we'll put discipleship with evangelism. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28... beginning at verse 16. Now we know this is the Great Commission. It says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. But then Jesus came and he spoke to them. And here's what he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we could do a whole sermon just on this, but God wants us to be spreading His word, not just individually, not just corporately, but both. He wants the church to have a plan for that. And then as individuals, when we have opportunity, we share the gospel. And of course, at the church, we also build people up through discipleship. But the church is unique as a group in one area, and this can also be used on an individual level, but it's concerning the gifts that God has given us. So if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I know I'm sending you all over the place. Of course, some of you have those cheater electronic devices. You could be watching the football game for all I know. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 4, it says this: there are diversities, or all different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So these gifts are distributed by the Lord as He sees fit. Now, if we were thinking about it in the terms of a military battle, or just the strategics of the military, you know, everyone in the military has a certain job to do, don't they? And they're all super important. I mean, it might seem like your job isn't that important, but even if you're just a frontline guy, or maybe you're communications, or you're whatever your job is. I wasn't in the military. I don't know all the real specifics, but I got a pretty good idea. And if any part of that isn't working together, you can lose the battle. And I think that's how it works in the church, is that God has given us all these gifts. And we need to exercise those gifts in such a way that we're working as a unit. Now, maybe you don't know what your gift is. Well, you know, in the military, people up in the high places distribute the responsibilities, don't they? And God is the one who has given you those gifts that you have. And if you're not sure what that gift is, well, you need to seek out the commander-in-chief and find out what it is, so that you're right in the perfect place that God has called you to be within the body of Christ, so that we can be fully functional. And I think it's pretty interesting who God chooses to do certain things. I mean, we know, we saw with the disciples just who God chose. Pretty incredible, some of the people that God picked to be the first 12. And I think it's pretty incredible who God chooses today to do certain things within the church. And I love it when God takes someone and puts them in a place where they never thought they would be any good, if you will, and uses them. And see, that's what God desires to do. He desires to take someone that maybe no one thought they could accomplish something like that or whatever, and to use them, and then they can testify of who God is and His glory. And we can see God work in people in amazing ways. You know, so my prayer is that you would discover your gift, and that as you exercise that gift, God will open you up to things that you never imagined. And In the end, you might say, he gave me gifts I never, ever understood or thought that I could do. But it takes stepping out in faith. It takes getting out of your comfort zone and listening to the Lord, that he might show you what those gifts are. Now, next thing I want to touch on is worship. And we know that our entire service here is a worship to the Lord. All of the things that we do on Sunday and on Wednesday, specifically opening his word and praying. But also we know that we come here to thank the Lord, and then we sing. Our worship is vocal. You know, David, we know that he often played and danced, and I mean, he was even kind of ridiculed for it sometimes. But it was a real joy that David had in his heart before God. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to recognize who God is when we're here, and we want to worship him for it. And we want to thank him, and we want to praise him for the things that he has done and the things he is going to do. And we want to do that as a group. You know, and if you're watching online, I forgot to say hi. Hi to you guys watching online. You know, and I know we're separated right now. And that's one of the things that the enemy is trying to do, is to separate us. But we need to come together as a church. We need to reach out. You know, you guys have all those fancy phones with all the FaceTime, and, you know, I know I'm stuck in 1985, but call somebody up, encourage them, face to face, if you will. You know, you don't have to wear a mask either when you're FaceTiming someone, because it can't go across the lines. But, you know, we need to encourage each other, and we need to really worship the Lord, because he's going to really come through, I think, in these times that we live in. If, you know, and we can be a part of that. You can be a big part of that, or you can choose not to. Because the Lord doesn't force anything upon us. From the beginning of time, he hasn't been one to force his will on anyone. Now, the next thing I really want to talk about is that we are obedient to God's commands. And there's a lot of different passages that deal with obedience. I want to talk about a certain guy this morning when it comes to obedience. He was the wisest person in the Bible, and by many accounts. He was, I guess, the third king of Israel. His name was Solomon. And you know, Solomon was given God came to him and asked him, you know, what he could do for him. You know, Solomon started out well, and he didn't want anything for himself. He just wanted to have a heart to minister to God's people and the wisdom to do that. And because that was his request, well, we know God blessed him tremendously and made him the talk of the town, if you will, world over. I mean, this guy had the greatest kingdom on earth. He was financially incredibly rich. He built beautiful palaces. He built the temple for the Lord. And, you know, I was reading about some of the different things that he did, and I can't go over them all with you, but let me just say, everybody wanted to be Solomon if they had a kingdom, if you will. But you know, something happened to Solomon because of all this stuff that he had. He began to slip into a lot of sin. Hundreds of concubines and wives, and they began to turn Solomon away from who he was. And he began to even worship all of these idols and build things to idols and everything. And you know, it was really his downfall. And God came to him and said, look, for the sake of your father, your kingdom will be together until, but after you die, the kingdom will be split. And so, as an old man, Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And in that book, he talks about life, because he saw life like no one else probably did. And the key word in that book is vanity. That everything in the world without God is just a waste of time. And he goes over all of it. And if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know, he pretty much sums up everything that he went through in his life and all of the things that he had in the earthly realm, if you will. And when he gets to chapter 12, he kind of just sums it all up. You know, in verse 1, he says to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So he's looking back to his youth, kind of like I was when I was at Christian school, you know. But he's probably looking back on how he started and how he responded to God in those days. And then in this chapter, he goes through what happens to you as you get old. You know, he talks about, you know, the physical deterioration, if you will. And then in verse 8, he just says, excuse me, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher, that's Solomon, sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of wise of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Notice that's capitalized. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So here's what he says is the conclusion of the whole matter, that really the conclusion of his whole life, and he'd had everything, he'd followed the Lord, he'd fallen away, he had everything that the world could offer. And his conclusion is this, that man would fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. It's pretty interesting. And I think it's a great testimony to the fact that if what you're seeking is in the world, it's nothing. You know, you can come to church on Sunday and get all churchy and then go out after you leave and your focus is on all the things that the world has for you. And what's that going to do? That's according to Solomon, it's going to lead to nothing. No matter how much of it you get, and I guarantee you, you cannot get as much of it as Solomon had. No way. You know, he said something in some of his writings in this book. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. You say, wait a minute, I see a lot of new things in 2020. No, you don't. They may seem new to you, but they've been there before in some form or other. Whether it's COVID-19 or whatever, you pick it out, it's not new. So, if we want to take the advice of Solomon, it's like, start out like he did, asking God for the right things. And if he blesses you with other things, thank him for that, and don't let those things become your obsession. Because the church in these days needs to be focused. Now, all of these things are just benefits and maybe responsibilities and, you know, the mission of the church. And, you know, and I said we've been given gifts, and we have. But if we want to accomplish our mission, there's a couple of things I want to point out to you and that are very important. Back in Acts, where we were at before, See if I can get there. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. See, if you want to accomplish God's purpose and God's will as a church, we've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And, you know, Jesus opened their understanding to the Scriptures, and then he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Okay? And in verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, the source of our power is the Holy Spirit, given to us by God. You know, Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Spirit may come. And you're going to receive this power. So, I've told you everything that you need to know. But I'm not going to send you out in your own power. You go and you wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, we're filled with the Spirit of God. He gifts us, and then he gives us opportunity. But we need to be filled with his Spirit. And then when we are, I mean, the result, turn the page to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. After the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit was poured out, and Peter gave this great sermon, and it says in verse 41 that those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Isn't that amazing? This is the very beginning of the church. And this is how God chose to do it, by picking this motley crew, 12 guys, and of course others that were following, but these 12 core guys, giving them gifts, filling them with the Spirit, and sending them out to preach the gospel. Now, you are filled with the Spirit, but you also need to be led by the Spirit. And we know that, you know, in Paul's writings, he talks about things he wanted to do and places he wanted to go, and God closed doors, God opened doors. If you turn your Bible over to Galatians chapter 5, you know, I told my wife that a perfect Bible study is about 40 minutes. I'm sorry, this one's imperfect because I'm going over just a little bit. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So it's important that we are led by the Spirit. We are going to have times in our life when our spirit and our flesh are doing battle. And of course, we've talked about it before. Whatever you feed, that is what's going to emerge victorious. So if you come to church, it's a great way to feed the Spirit. It's a great way to be encouraged. You start exercising your gifts and you're involved in the things of God. The things of the world are going to be kind of fade out. Okay. So we need to be led by the Spirit. And if we are, verse 22 tells us the results. The fruit of the Spirit will come forth in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay. That's the result of being led by the Spirit. Of being filled with it, being led by it, and then we see the fruits of it. And we will do things and act in ways that we could never have really done on our own. Okay. And in verse 26, it says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. You know, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It'll lead to a unity of the believers that is not attainable in the flesh, if you will. And that's what we need. We need to, the Bible talks about being of one accord. We need to be of one accord. If the army goes out to battle and the guys over here on the right say, you know, I think I want to go attack over here, and I want to go attack over, and you got these guys going all different places, and they get wiped out. They got to follow the commander, point in on what he wants them to do, and achieve victory. Now, turn over once to Ephesians chapter 6, one book. So we're doing it filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, but we also need to make sure we're doing it in with the power of the Lord as our source. In verse 10 of chapter 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Okay. And I know you've heard this passage many times, but we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then here's what we talked about earlier. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. And he goes over all of those things. Girded your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, God is not sending us into the battle naked. He's giving us everything that we need. And he's giving us the power to do it. Now, the last thing I want to say about what he provides to us, and, you know, I mean, this is not all inclusive, but I want to touch one more time on prayer, because in verse 18, here's what he says: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That we would be filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be moving forward in the power of God, and that through prayer we would realize what our mission is, and that we would pray for one another, and that we would be as one. Because the enemy wants to scatter us. He wants that socially distanced and with a mask. He wants all those things, but God can overcome all of those things through us. If we understand what the church is about, understand what the mission is, understand what he has provided us with, and move forward in what he wants us to do. And if we're going to do that, we really have to have our eyes on the Lord. We really have to be seeking him out and focusing on him. And we can't be distracted by the circumstances. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 and 4. And this talks about a soldier. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Say, what? You're going to endure hardship. "But no one that's engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." We can't get tangled up by stuff that's happening in our life to the extent where we're not focused on the battle. It says that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we are in a battle. And God has provided us everything that we need. And he's not asking us to go out there as the Lone Ranger. Now, he may ask you to do something individually, but he really wants us to be united corporately, that we might take all of the gifts that we have and receive from him all that he has for us, and to go out as a church and be effective in a time when the enemy wants to stifle us. So pray. Ask God, what do you have for me to do, Lord? How do you want to use me? How do you want me to be part of what you're doing? How can I get plugged in? What are my gifts? You're going to be blown away if you commit to what God wants you to do. Is it always going to be a comfortable thing? No. We must endure hardship, it says. You know, they used to say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? But not tough in the flesh, tough in the spirit. Not determined in our own power, but determined in the power of God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that lives and works through you, His Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you today, when you see things on the news, when you see things happening around you and you say the enemy is winning, the enemy is not winning. He's destined to lose. It says so right here in my Bible. And God wants to use us, and He's got a mission for us, should we choose to accept it. But that choice is up to you and up to me and up to all of us. You know, and I just pray that, and for you guys online, that mission is up to you. That you would be part of what God wants to do in these wacky times of 2020. And I pray that God would richly bless you as you move forward in whatever ministry He has you in. And don't forget about the kids out there. That little flyer, it's out there on a box hanging outside the gate. Okay? Because the things that I learned as a kid are so important. And maybe I drifted away from them, but they were in the hard drive. You know, all I had to do was click on it and open it up. And God has brought a lot of it back to my memory. So I pray that God would bless you as you go forward in ministry. I pray that He would speak to you and He would just give you a real clear vision of what part of the mission He has for you. Father, thank you for today and for this opportunity to come together, Lord, to open your word, Lord, and to see all of the things contained within it concerning what you've called us to be as a church, what you've called us to be individually. And I just pray that we would be seeking you through prayer, that we would be walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and looking for opportunities, God. And that you would unite us together, God, in such a way that we would be effective for your kingdom, Lord, for the ultimate salvation of souls, and for the building up and the edifying of the body and all of those things, God, that this church body would be a living sacrifice to you, holy, and we want to be acceptable, God. I pray that the things that we do at this church would be pleasing to you, Lord. And God, that you would bless them and that you would anoint them and that we would see people come to the knowledge of who you are. We would see people built up. We would see people go out and we would see people discipled. That we would be in unity and of one accord in what you have us to do, Lord. So I pray your blessing on Calvary Chapel North Long Beach in these troubling times that we live. And that God, we would see you glorified in the things that happen at this church. And that the members of this church would be unified in one purpose, and that is the purpose of your will and fulfilling it here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Song, and if you need prayer, we'll be up front to pray. And, you know, God bless you as you seek Him in this crazy time that we live on what He has called you to be.
splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great.
Let's sing that one more time. How great.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Hear the name.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
You're the name.
How great is our God.
And all will see.
And all will see how great is our God.
God bless you guys. We'll see you here on Wednesday.